All right, let's go out to the phones and chat with Kevin Richardson, radio color analyst for San Jose State football. You can follow him on Twitter at KRichardson46. Kevin, how are you? Welcome in. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. Doing great and enjoying some nice sunshine out here in the San Francisco Bay Area right now. And I'm on my commute home, so I've got plenty of time the way the traffic has been these days.
Yeah, I can imagine. And Utah fans are hoping for a lot of traffic in their own end zone, trying to put up some points against San Jose State. For Utah fans who haven't seen much of the Spartans this year, what does San Jose State do best, in your opinion?
Well, gosh, you know, that's a good question. You know, with the transition to the new head coach, Brent Brennan, really, I think, still in the process of trying to define that. In my mind, I've broken up the season into thirds. You know, you had the opener with South Florida, which is, you know, technically a group of five, you know, team. But if you watch them play, they're, you know, they can play with the big boys. They'll be a top 20 team by the time the season's over. Then had to play Cal Poly that runs the triple option. Got a win there. Went down to Texas. You know, the outcome was not good. And so to be honest with you, I think what they're trying to do is get some decent quarterback play. I think they're playing better on defense than they have in the last couple of years. I think part of that is scheme. You know, the old Utah guy, Derek Odom, is the new defensive coordinator. And so I think they're heading in the right direction. My feeling was when the season got started, you know, every week you want to point to, hey, we got a little bit better, and not necessarily get so obsessed with winning and losing, you know, in the first third of this season, just because, you know, Utah is a great team, Texas is a pretty good team, and South Florida was pretty darn good also.
You talk about having decent quarterback play. San Jose's played three quarterbacks through the first three games. Who should we expect to see out there as the starter this weekend?
You know, I'd expect to see Montel Aaron, the redshirt freshman. He didn't get the start at the beginning of the year. They went with Josh Love, and Montel came in a backup role and has done a pretty good job. I think at the same time, wouldn't surprise me if you saw one of the two other guys, if not two of the other guys, because I think the thing that San Jose had going on as we rolled into this season is they had no quarterback that had any kind of advantage in terms of reps on the field other than Josh Love, who had played a little bit last year. So I keep using the term, they're trying to apply like a rep IV in terms of the quarterbacks. As you know, you got to get those quarterbacks out there in game situations and get them some playing time. So wouldn't surprise me to see a couple of quarterbacks, if not three, this weekend, depending on how things go on the scoreboard.
Well, it appears like Montel Aaron and Josh Love are close in terms of the passing statistics. Do either one of those guys present any new element of danger in the running game? I mean, are any of these quarterbacks more mobile than the other?
Well, I would think, you know, if you were having a foot race, you'd definitely go with Montel Aaron. They're two different quarterbacks. Montel, tall, rangy guy that, you know, ran around and made a lot of plays with his legs in high school. Didn't do a lot of that last week against Texas, but, you know, it was a pretty decent, you know, Texas defense. So I would think making plays with your feet, the advantage goes to Montel Aaron. At the same time, I think when you look at Josh Love, he brings some other things to the table. He's pretty good at throwing the ball on time, you know, a guy that'll just get his foot in the ground quick and get the ball out. So, you know, it's hard to say, well, gosh, you know, Montel's running it so well, that's a huge advantage. But I do think what they're trying to do is say, okay, if we can get Montel some reps, he'll start to make a few plays with his legs and do some good things for us.
Justin Holmes, Josh Oliver, two names that should be found in the passing game. Kevin, who are the top receivers on this San Jose outfit?
Well, you're exactly right there. Josh Oliver is my favorite. Of course, I'm an '80s guy, so I always think of the big Cowboys tight end, Billy Joe Dupree, big, tall, rangy, athletic guy, and that's what Josh Oliver is. He is just massive. You know, they'll line him up at wideout. They'll put him in at an H-back spot. They'll put him at tight end. He's a guy, I think, once the quarterbacks figure out how to get him the ball a little bit more, I think you'll see a lot of that going on. You know, but that, quite frankly, has been a little bit of the problem here early on, is just having a receiver that can really take the top off of things. And, you know, one of the things that is a stated goal of the offense for San Jose State is every, you know, 5 to 8 plays, we're going to take a shot deep because we want to get the defense out of the box a little bit. And, you know, what they're trying to do is find that guy that can get behind the defense, if you will.
We're chatting with Kevin Richardson, the radio color analyst for San Jose State football here on ESPN 700. What's caused the biggest issue for San Jose State so far this year? What's been their biggest weakness?
Well, I think there's been a few things that they've battled but are starting to overcome. I think when you look at the way last year ended, I'm not sure that the team went out there expecting to win and expecting good things to happen. And I know that sounds funny, because if you look at the one loss record, it's not, you know, you can't argue that, okay, you're winning more games right now. But if I watch this team battle throughout the course of a game, when you go into a Texas, you know, stadium and, you know, it's not going well for you, the one thing that they've done is they've stayed on point. They keep trying to make plays. They keep trying to do what they're coached to do. And I think that's probably the biggest step they've taken early on. I've been impressed by that. And I think the thing you put that on is you put it on the coaching staff, and everybody talks about how young this coaching staff is, and they are. At the same time, they've shown a level of maturity that has been actually pretty darn impressive, because when things were bad on Saturday, they just kept coaching. And I always go back to, you know, when Mike McIntyre, who's now at Colorado, showed up at San Jose State, and we had the infamous 1-12 year. I think what was the score? 56-3 when we came to Utah. I think it was game 4 that season. The one thing that Mike McIntyre and his staff did is they continued to coach. And they didn't panic, even though you had every reason to just lose your mind. And it wasn't a, you know, calm, you know, find your center, let's relax. It was, you know, a sense of urgency in that we got to get better. And I see a lot of that with this staff right here. So it's going the right direction. Obviously, got to get more points on the board. Got to be able to run the ball better. And, you know, looking at your front seven, that will be a tall order this week, that's for sure, because you guys sure know how to stop the run.
Last year, Kevin, Utah was able to notch up 8 sacks against the San Jose State Spartans. In fact, I believe they injured your starting quarterback, Kenny Potter, back then. How do you anticipate the front 5 offensive linemen for the Spartans to handle the pressure from Utah this week?
You know, front 5's a little bit nicked up there. One of the offensive tackles was injured last week. I expect to see him back out there. That's probably the area with the most depth on the field for San Jose State, and I thought they've looked pretty decent in the first 3 games. But you know, the key is going to be, if you're Montel Aaron or Josh Love or Sam Allen, you got to get the ball out quick. And I think they're well aware of what they're up against in terms of the defensive front. You know, I talked to Coach Whittingham for my pregame interview a couple days ago, and you know, one of my questions to him was, you know, gosh, where do you find these defensive linemen? It's kind of crazy when you look at everybody that's in the NFL and what they do. And, you know, obviously that's what Utah does. And man, they look good. So that'll be a huge challenge for San Jose.
Utah's offense trying to figure out some red zone issues. Last year they threw a pick to San Jose State's middle linebacker. I'm wondering, maybe that was Barnes last year. Either way, who's been the standout so far on defense for San Jose?
You know, that one's easy. Frank Genda wears number 5. Just a heck of a player. A third-year guy, enrolled early, did spring ball, started as a true freshman. And one of the things, having played linebacker in college myself, one of the things that I kept commenting about is freshman year was, you know, can he hold pace and do what he's doing and get close to 100 tackles? And he did. And, you know, did the same thing last year, right on pace this year. But he's a leader. He finds his way to the ball. He is He's an outstanding defensive player and just one of those guys that, you know, if you're a broadcaster and you're not sure who made the tackle, my partner will always just say, you know, it's Frank Ginda. But Frank plays really, really hard, and, you know, he's a fun guy to watch. You know, wearing number five, I don't know, makes them seem like they played tailback or something like that in high school. It's a little more fun to watch, but he's good. You'll notice him if you're watching the game.
This is going to sound like a silly question, Kevin, but I got to ask, you're coming off a 56-0 loss. You went to Darrell K. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium. It holds 100,000-odd. What did you see last week? Were the players from San Jose, they seem overwhelmed? I mean, where did it all go wrong, essentially?
You know, obviously didn't score enough points. But, you know, again, I think it is one of those things where a little bit outmatched physically. I felt like, as funny as it sounds, because they weren't able to get points up on the board, you were kind of walking into a bit of a buzzsaw because they had lost their opener. And, you know, I think Tom Herman was going to personally will his way to a victory. And they weren't going to, you know, they weren't going to back off till they were, you know, way out in front. And I think it was just kind of the wrong setup. But again, the thing that I saw that I appreciated having done this for 10 years now for San Jose State, you know, it was a team that just, they kept trying to take a shot, kept trying to make a play, but, you know, Texas would just kind of get big and run the ball, and then once you put too many people up in the box, they'd throw one deep and get a shot on you there. They had a tailback that was 245 pounds, and that was just a real problem to shut him down. So, you know, how do you coach to that this week, I guess, is obviously the question, but, you know, if you spend any time with Coach Brennan, you kind of know how resilient he is, and it's like, okay, that's what happened. Now we've learned. Let's step forward and try to, you know, try to get off on the right foot this weekend.
Well, good luck and enjoy the call this weekend, Kevin. We look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Well, you bet. You know, one of these times I want to have a discussion about Coach Whittingham and if we had an Oklahoma drill for all 12 Pac-12 coaches. I got to put my money on Whittingham. I think he'd probably do the best of any of them. So I think that'd be great for the we suggest that to the Pac-12 network for their media days. My money's on Whittingham the whole way.
Oh, I'm telling you, Graham Cracker at Arizona State, he'd go down instantly. Old Kyle Whittingham, no, he'd give the business to, Willie Taggart, he'd be out quick. No, David Shaw, Jim Mora, and Kyle Whittingham, I bet they're in the finals.
Well, and you got to go with Anderson, right? Anderson, he'd get in there and stroke. And of course, I also thought it was interesting listening to Coach Leach talk about toughness with offensive linemen, right? You kind of take that a little personally, having been an offensive lineman. So, you know, I think he's out right away, too. He and Graham are out early.
Oh, Leach pulls a hamstring walking into the ring. I mean, we love him, but, yeah, there's just no way.
I reckon Rich Rod would hold his own. He's got a few screws loose.
He'd grab you by the pelvis or something and toss you around. He'd do something weird. Kevin, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Good luck this weekend.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. We'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.